fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club, talk about Fife Club, talk about it. Just talk about it, yeah. Just talk about Fife Club.
You're putting people off, James.
The last time I was on here was like, we need some enthusiasm and life out of you, James. And then this time I'm like, yeah, James, you need to calm that shit
down.
Maybe
if they saw your shoulder shimmying, they might have been impressed.
Yeah.
Just audio-wise, it was a C-minus performance.
If it was, yeah. How dare you? How dare you, sir?
I didn't think there was a C in there at all, Jamie, to be perfectly honest. That's a musical notes gag there for everyone.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll let you die.
I'm sorry I wasn't a classically trained musician.
I went to Juilliard, I'll have you know.
Fucking
I learned
hell.
To talk, not sing. How dare you?
Amazing. Right, okay. Can we get on with this now, please?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You got something
I mean,
to do,
I'm all about yous. You just shut the fuck up. So, we hope you guys all enjoyed the little musical break from the norm last week. We just wanted to fully showcase the Daisy's music and what they're all about. So, yeah. Also, sorry about the delay in getting it out there. A few personal things got in the way at the end of last week, which meant I didn't get a good run at editing it. So, yeah. Thanks for the patience.
And by which he means a beastly whiskey hangover.
I wish. So yeah, hopefully this episode has arrived on time, and I will do my best. If you do want to have a go at me for my tardiness, Jamie, where can people find us?
On our website at www.fiveclub.co.uk, Instagram, Fife Club, Twitter, at Fife Club, Facebook.com/FiveClubPod, or at Fife Club.
That'll do, thank you.
Oh, and Ken@FiveClub.co.uk's email.
Or just shout at us in the street if you see us.
Yeah, that's what Disco Deke does.
Yeah. And that guy that shouted at Ruth Davidson in the street the other day. Anyone see that?
No. Oh, yes, I did. Who apparently was shouting abuse at a pregnant woman. And it was like, well, he wasn't really shouting abuse, though, was he?
It's still, yeah, I mean, I'm not down with it, but at the same time, it wasn't abuse.
No.
Yeah.
It was a wee bit, aye. Anywho.
It's almost like we take any of these things and twist them to suit our own agendas.
Exactly. Mark, you're the king of that.
I wouldn't even suggest I'm royal.
Sitting on your throne of lies.
So, anywho, let's get on with the show. On the mics with my good self, Kutch, tonight is our very own Greg's Bakers. Cheap, mass-produced and imported from England, it's Jamie.
Hello. That is entirely accurate.
And across from him is the embodiment of Stephen's Bakers, a quality product, lovingly handcrafted, and was made in Dunfermline Town. It's Mark.
God, thank you. Hello.
And next to him
Fuck
is...
you, Mark.
Next to him is Fife Club's Baines the Bakers, a pretender to the throne. It's an alright replacement if the real thing isn't at hand, and comes from a village just outside of Dunfermline. It's James.
I will fight anyone of you about the ham battens that they do in Baines. They are top banana.
Better roll fillings, nowhere near as good rolls.
No.
Yeah, Stephen's, yeah. True story.
See, if you had Stephen's rolls and Baines fillings, you'd have heaven. That's all I'm going to say.
All I'm going to say is I don't even know why you guys are cheating on Stephen's.
Right. Greg's...
You've already got the prettiest
Baines
girl in the world.
Baines raised me. I'm a child of Baines. This
is like Hugh Grant cheating on Liz Hurley.
All over again.
Yeah. Every so often I need a juicy, horrible, disgusting cheese and bacon wrap, which Greg's do better, and Stephen's is like one of a few things they do better.
I'd still go to Stephen's.
Look, we're not proud of it. You know, we don't like to admit it, but sometimes we need a different kind of satisfaction that Stephen's can provide.
Oh, I've just remembered, you live in a village without a Stephen's, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more so, like that snow day, you know, we had the whole like Snowmageddon, like a Stephen's van was coming through Oakley, and it was like the most heavenly thing I've ever seen in my life at the time.
But it didn't stop.
That's because you hadn't left Oakley.
It's like, you know when they do like Band-Aid and stuff like that, they go, we're going to send care packages to starving children in Africa. It's like that. But wow.
It's the most Oakley version of that.
Your £3 a month gets a state bridie to James McIver's front door.
Yeah. Well, just
unfortunately, unfortunately, you actually got Coldplay. shit off.
Oh, dear. Christ.
Well, speaking of Stevens.
Yeah, speaking of Stevens. Sad days.
It really and truly is an end of an era.
It is. I mean, where are all the old biddies going to go now?
Well, actually, the cafe in the library has been redone, so actually, that's
a bit costly for the pension, though.
I've never eaten in there.
I've only ever had coffee and stuff.
Yeah, it's a wee bit pricey for the old pension. But
that's the Scrooge McDuck approach, so it's like, yes, there's nowhere else to go but here. Spend all your money. Spend it.
But there is somewhere else to go, as we all know. Old favourite, Giacomo's.
Yeah. Or Giacomo's, as you once taught us. Yeah.
Exactly. No, that's where I buy my clothes.
I was going to say, that's where you have to buy your clothes after you go there.
Yeah.
I go back to the told you.
I'm not fat, I'm just a big lad.
I'm just fat.
I kind of feel like this is a moment, you know, in that scene from Star Trek when Spock gets fired. Spoiler. When Spock's funeral is happening. It's about 30 years ago. But when Spock's having that funeral and then there's the pipe band playing Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. I feel like they should be doing that in front of Stephen's Cafe right now.
I remember being there.
You can't get Spock there, mate. He's dead. Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's all the Star Trek fans have just switched off now. Which is good, because you're all freaks.
Hello.
Excuse me.
Watch as the podcast turns on me.
Yeah, it's a shame. They seem to be taking more of a
grab and go type.
Yeah. Sort of thing. But whatever.
Well, it's interesting. Like they've done it's actually like a full textbook case in like modernization.
It is,
isn't it? In terms of like what they're doing. They used to have the sit-in spot, they used to have like quite a big premises in the bakery that they had in the center of town.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, they've outsourced that out of town. They've got all these new drive-throughs and places that you can quickly pick something up on the way. And actually, I mean, it's probably the sensible thing to
do,
right?
Yeah. And like, obviously, for a long time, they've had the concession vans as well that have been going out to like businesses that tend not to have cafeterias or stuff like that. So they get a wee contract out of them and they take their van along. That's been on the, you know, on the go for a good, 10 years or so, if not more. And now, like I say, they've shut the cafe because it's, I mean, again, the thing I was saying as well is, like, that's what, the last one? Because there was a couple in the town, Stephen's Cafes.
Wait,
there was one up Bridge Street as well. Not Bridge Street. Next to Larry's.
Was that a cafe?
Yeah, that was a cafe as well, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
That used to be my local. My local Stephen's. The bottom of my street.
They took out the cafe in that, and I just turned it into a normal one. So they had a couple of them, but they've just obviously...
Is there still a Stephen's there?
Yes, there is.
Yeah. All right, okay, Stephen's, I didn't realise that.
I used to see a friend of a podcast, Chris Rudgeon, there all the time, usually on a Saturday or Sunday morning, hungover. Like, I say morning. Like 11, between 11 and 1. It'd be like... All right, man. Yeah. So I saw him there almost every week.
Although it is worth stating, there's something I appreciate about Dunfermline is you're always within a 10-minute radius. In the town, anyway, you're always within a 10-minute radius of a Stevens.
Because
there used to be the cafe, then there was the one on the High Street. Then there's the one next to the swimming baths at Carnegie.
Yep. Yep.
Then
there's the one round on... What is that? Is that Bridge Street or is it... No, it's not Bridge Street, but by there. Larry's.
Yeah, I've completely forgotten what that's called.
And then there's obviously the drive-through. That's only about a 10-minute or so walk from there. And then if you walk a wee bit further down, you're probably likely to find an island of Stevens of Acres hidden away. It's crazy how much they fill up the town. You won't really think about it until you actually start.
Well, I mean, that's probably the reason. It's just too expensive to have the properties in the town.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, they obviously shut the one at the where the main bakery was, you know, and that went... And then they opened the one up at Rosyth, which does a lot of business as well, because folk just drive in and drive out. You know, it's not a drive-through, but...
Well, I noticed that the Spa in Kirstorfen, a place I hadn't been to recently, Spa in Kirstorfen has started doing Stevens.
Oh, it's got a concession in it.
It has got a concession. But also, there are lots of Stevens concessions kicking about.
Tons, yeah.
And what used to be John G. Young's down at St. Andrew's Street as well.
Up at what was Davy Sands and Lindburn Road, it's, what is it now, Co-op?
Co-op,
there's one in there.
There certainly is.
Is there not actually one in the Co-op further up Pilmuir Street as well?
I think there may well be.
They've got at least rolls and stuff. So, yeah.
The only thing I would say that, again, I, like you say, it was a good place for like older people to congregate and meet. And usually because it was quite quiet. It meant there was usually a space. And close to the library as well. Mm. That usually meant that there was somewhere where they could sit. And okay, Giacomo's is just up the hill. But it just, again, it just feels like another kind of loss to the town centre. I don't blame them for doing it. No. They're a successful, brilliant local company that we will
also
always support.
We were sort of talking about like the cafe situation. I mean, you've now got the one down in the library opened up.
Yeah.
Just up the road, you've got Giacomo's. Just up from there, you've got the Wind Cafe. That's opened again.
Yeah, you've got like that Cafe Menta.
The Cafe Menta. Then you've
Fire Station.
Then you've got the big ones. You've got Nero, Starbucks and Costa.
Yeah.
You know, the town's actually saturated with coffee shops at the moment, so I can totally see why.
Because people in Dunfermline need a coffee, a haircut, and to go to the charity shop.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of our needs.
At one time, we also needed cards, but not so much these days. The card shop seems
They've gone into a decline.
Cheer has disappeared from Dunfermline.
Yeah. did a long time ago. Yeah. But I was walking through with a friend recently, and he did actually remark that it was, you know, reasonably busy and a nice town as well. So, friend up from London, so
it's one of those things, though. I think
I've heard that as well. When people say, "I go, really?"
Yeah. But it's one of those things that you tend not to see what's on your front doorstep because see it every day and you pick out all the
rubbish,
and the bad things, I suppose. So, I can totally see how maybe somebody would. Again, when you actually think about it, especially the bottom end of the town, you've got
the Glen,
like,
the Maygate,
you've got the
Abbey Palace.
The Abbey and the
Palace
and the Town Hall. City Chambers, thank you.
City Chambers with the dragon with tits.
Yes.
On the front door.
Yeah.
If you thought a dragon was scary, try and face down a dragon with tits. St. George would have been fucked.
And they're on that very building from my old flat, on the exact opposite side of the clock tower, you could see a stone head that used to have grass growing that looked like hair that was growing out of it. Like it was alive. But then when they redid it a few years ago, they got rid of all the grass. Bastards.
Fair enough.
After a few years, the hair just tends to go.
You know all about that.
You may as well shave it off.
Yeah. Whoa.
So, sad days that's shut down. But on the positive side, they've brought a care package to the people of Crossford.
They have indeed, yeah. good old Crossford. I always think of Crossford as a place that is nice to go through on the bus.
Yes.
Anyone ever really stopped there?
It's like a barren wasteland. No offense to Crossford listeners, but there is fuck all in Crossford.
I used to have family there.
There's a golf course.
Friends there who have gotten drunk in their back gardens when we were like high school.
Did you not say there was a dog that fetches packets of crisps?
That's Kearney Hill.
That's Kearney Hill, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Apologies.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to ignite that old that old battle, that wee bit field in between.
Like, basically.
Yeah. Anyway.
Basically, all of like Crossford can be summed up in a square mile.
Yeah.
Like,
is it even that big?
Not even that big, yeah, it's quite small. Like,
it's just like our own city of London. Anyone been to the Kearney Hill Stock Exchange?
Has it got a Lord Mayor?
Yeah. Oh, man alive.
Yeah.
Wow.
There'll be a lot of listeners out saying, oh, we've got all this thing, all these things and this and that. And come on now, guys, you know I'm just joking with you.
So, Crossford, eh?
I'm so enthused.
Does anybody really care about Crossford ultimately? Apart from Stevens.
Yeah, destination through which buses go.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's a bit stinky, isn't it?
Well.
Oh, wait, no, that's all of West Fife.
It really is truly and utterly horrendous at the moment.
Well, yeah. I'm going to throw a bit of irony your way. Like, Oakley, where it's surrounded by fields and farms, is actually all right. Can you smell it?
Must just be far enough away.
Fresh air. It's beautiful, people. It's beautiful.
But do you not always feel like, vaguely, you know when you've got friends coming over from like Edinburgh or Glasgow or something, you bring them over the bridge and immediately you're hit by the sewage treatment plant and it stinks as soon as you hit Fife.
Yep. Yeah.
And you know there's inevitably coming a joke about how doesn't Fife stink? And you go, yeah, a little bit. And then you get into the town now and it also just stinks everywhere as well.
I think the worst I smelled it was, the Hullbeath Park and Ride. That was like, it wasn't just so much of a smell as the physical embodiment of just disgust. It was absolutely awful. Like, to the point where I was like, I don't want to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
It is the worst thing. And it was just like, what? Because like, the reason for it, I'm sure we're going to go into it, was something about lime cake?
So, well,
like
let's actually sort of tell the story about what's happened.
Yeah.
Basically, what, about a week ago?
Just as the weather
was just as the weather started getting lovely,
really
lovely and warm. Just
the only time you're going to want to be outside in the whole of the year.
Yeah. Mm. There was an incredible stench that smelled like shit.
Basically, the bog of eternal stench.
Yes.
It's Hoggle.
I hope that elaborate depression does not get cut at any point.
Sarah Friend.
Ambrosia.
I just love how
you are that fox.
Imagination.
Don't worry, we're going to actually recreate Labyrinth while you've been away. Quick, get a potato down your pants, Scott. Quick, get it down there.
I really don't know what's going on. We were talking about bad smells in Fife.
That's what it's done, it's drove us crazy.
Yeah, awful, awful smell. And it's come from the Muir Dean, what was the old open cast quarry plant, just outside Crossgates. And they decided to start spraying the fields with, lime cake? Basically, off-run from distillers.
Yeah.
So it's like the stuff that's still high in nutrients and everything, but is no use to the distilling process. Been spraying the fields with that, but it does, so it's not even waste of any kind. Because normally there's a day or two in the year where you get a bit of a shitey smell because the farmers are spraying the fields.
Mm.
And that's just part and parcel of it. Usually,
we are very much the sort of garden of Scotland.
Yes. Well, you are in the Garden City at the moment.
Yeah, very much.
Rosyth is the Garden City.
Yeah. No, I always think of it as sort of some kind of like shit version of Blade Runner. Can we just
no fly cars just the number 19?
Just dig on anyone.
I'm just digging on everywhere tonight. Bodying every town in Scotland. Come on, let's have at you.
But yeah, they basically decided to start spraying so that they could grow grass on the fields because, well, they're trying to cover it all up now, I think, is the basic line of it. But yeah, they did it on, they started it on the hottest day and did it for 2 days after that.
Yeah.
And apparently there are like laws saying that they shouldn't, or guidelines saying that they shouldn't spray if the temperature is going to be above a certain amount. But no, no, they just cracked on with it and basically we're coming out with the line, it's my land, I'll do what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, until SEPA and Fife Council got involved. Yeah.
There was a great picture as well of, what's his name, the councillor? Or MSP now.
Yes.
I've forgotten his
Alex
name.
Rowley.
Alex Rowley. Yeah. And like horrible smell.
Yeah.
Fife or something, and it's just a picture of Alex Rowley.
Yeah. Perfect. It was lovely juxtaposition there.
Well done.
Alex Rowley doesn't like the smell.
God, have you ever heard? I can't. I've been to two of his speeches and I can't take it.
It got to the stage where like there were so many people like putting in complaints to Fife Council on Twitter and Facebook that even Fife Council had to come around and push a post saying, "We know it smells of shit. You don't need to tell us."
Yeah.
what was weird is the way that it came, though. It was like a stealth wave. Sometimes it would be absolutely fine, and then you just like walk through your house, and then suddenly you'd be hit with like a wall.
I think it was just obviously like however the wind was blowing.
Yeah.
I mind we went to see Solo on Sunday at the cinema, and my God,
in there,
in the cinema, the whole time it was just awful. I went to get bread up at the farm just across the road that Sunday morning, and basically went through a cloud of it. It was just like coming around the corner, like, "What's that smell?" It was like, "Oh God, I'm right beside it all."
You're in the epicenter.
It was bad. Really bad.
My Barbadian, Bayesian, I think you can say either, cousin was over, and she was like, "Oh my God, what's that smell?" And it's like, "Oh yeah, it's this thing." I said, usually get it for like a day or two. But yeah, it's been pretty bad.
Question.
Yeah.
Is your cousin Rihanna?
No. Damn. No. No.
Because I was about to say, I mean, I know you don't introduce me. Rewind. To many women that you know. But, you know, if your cousin was Rihanna, you know.
No, she's. I say she's Bayesian. She's actually. She was born in the ferry.
Oh, right, okay.
In like my gran's house in the ferry. True story. And then lived in Canada for a bit, and now Barbados for like the last 20 years or so.
Bloody hell!
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, international connections there. Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway.
Really bad smell. But basically, Fife Council put then out a thing just the other day saying that we've basically served a legal notice to the farmer, essentially saying, "Didn't he do that again?" And the comments underneath that post were beautiful. So some of them were, "A legal notice, he should be jailed for that." Other ones were... legal notice, he should be fined as much as possible. What else was there? They should be shut down.
Yeah.
And then one of the other ones, of course, because the council had said, basically, you know, there's not a lot we can do about the smell now, but it should dissipate within 2 to 3 days. What was the first couple of comments on it? Do something about the smell. are they going to do?
It's like people that try and shoot hurricanes away.
Do they expect the council to go about in truckloads of Febreze and just spray all over the
It's like, what do you think? How do you think that's going to work?
And also, as anybody who knows that's done a fart and thought they would cover it up with Febreze, the fact is it just mingles.
Yeah.
It just creates a horrible high to low scent thing that you just feel...
If anything, it accents your fart more.
Lovely.
Highbrow conversation on this podcast.
You only get the best.
So, yeah, been a wee bit local news centric today, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, yeah.
Yeah. But then there's been a lot going on.
Yeah, I do like how you use like a proper tone when you're on the Twitter comments when you're talking about like, "You should go to the jail." It's like, come on, do the proper voice. Like, "You should go to the jail, pal." Get the fund. Need to fund them.
There's a lot going on when like literally a cafe shut down and someone sprayed some stuff on a field.
It's a lot. It's a lot going on.
This is very much accidental partridge territory.
It's entirely our wheelhouse as well. Yeah. So that was kind of
We had to deal with it. That we're a five-based podcast. We deal with the local to the national. We're the international.
Exactly. We're a Fife authority, essentially.
We're
Fife's number one influencers, apart from all the other people, including Andrew Carnegie, who's long dead.
we're working our way up there. But
I think we do rate higher than Kingdom FM, though.
Yeah.
We're coming for that station, lads. We're coming for it. It's not going to be Kingdom anymore. It's going to be Fife Club. It's going to be ours.
We'll get the next license. So, you were saying about national news. I suppose that kind of moves us on a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. It Hi. Does.
It's so tenuous.
Kutch gave me the eyes there. Like, it's a segment I've prepared.
It's your turn now.
Don't worry, guys. It's not back to the usual level of, like, sheer, utter bleakness that I'm usually responsible for. Shout out to all the fans of the Valentine's Day special. Still get a few comments about that.
There's a thing I've got to tell you. You've got a super fan.
I've got a super fan.
You've got a super fan, yeah.
Yes!
Our super fan, Dale.
Oh, right, yes.
Thinks you're the funniest.
Where? The fuck? I'm done. Right, I try my best. I try and be funny, but you know what? Fuck you.
She's probably absolutely right, to be fair.
Probably
some of you got it. Some people don't. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Just like your perfect palate.
Yeah, exactly. My palate is perfect. Just like my comedy timing. So, will I take us into it this
Yes.
Because I've actually got a special segment for it. In fact, let me just 2 seconds, listener. Let me pull back the curtain into the inner workings of Fife Club. Yeah. It was a couple of days ago. We were chatting about what content we do. Sometimes we do this, guys. We don't just wing it all. We mostly do. But we have a little chat, you know, not a WhatsApp, but a Facebook Messenger group thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're the good brothers and sisters of Fife Club. We just chat about the content that we're going to bring together.
Chat the chat.
Yeah. So I can't remember which one of us did it, but we were talking about the arrest of Tommy Robinson, neo-fascist poster boy for the era, etc. Yeah. And one of us, Kutch, just put his hand up. So I thought it might have been me. So I don't mixed them up with beloved comedy legend Tony Robbins, which got me onto thinking it's time to have a little game, isn't it?
It is. I think it is. Yeah.
So hello there, news and politics fans. It's a special day on Fife Club. We're piloting a brand new quiz show. That's right. No prizes to be won. Don't call us. Don't phone in. There is no prizes. But that's right. Tonight is the launch of our new game, Baldrick or Ballbag. That's right. Where our plucky team of Fife Clubbers have to decide whether the quote I read out is from beloved comedian, actor, and series of small walls enthusiast Tony Robinson or diminutive bag of deck eating racist cockwomble and leader of the impotent drunken gammon armies of the South, Tommy Robinson.
Fantastic description.
Love it.
Or Stephen Yaxley Lennon.
He's also known.
Oh, yeah. Or Mr. I'd love to punch your fucking face in, you racist scumbag cunt. So on with tonight's show. That's us dropping out of the EDL. All the EDL are not signing up for our podcast now.
I feel like this is like The Price is Right. It's like, introducing the contestants. Greg McCutcheon, come on down.
It's a soft toy. No, it's not. That's your deck.
It definitely wasn't soft.
That's low grade. So let's start with quote number one. I'd personally send every adult male Muslim that has come into the EU over the past 12 months back tomorrow if I could. Fake refugees.
Well, it could be something from Blackadder. I'm going to go...
But that's like something Tommy. That Blackadder would say.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Not Baldrick.
No, not Baldrick. Yeah, because he would usually be for the people.
Is he necessarily using Blackadder quotes, though?
Yeah, well, I mean, that is something that could easily be said on Time Team.
Yeah.
That Cornish guy. Yeah. All right there, Tony. No, we found a Roman fort. Yeah. Fucking get the Islams out. It could easily happen. He's probably nice. He wears lovely jumpers and sandals.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
allegedly. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go ball bag on this one.
Ball bag.
And you'd be wrong. It's Tony Robinson because he's a massive racist. No, it's not. Sorry, guys.
Genuinely had me in shock there for a minute.
Yeah, no, actually, no, that was definitely Tommy Robinson.
Tommy Robinson.
No. Right. I was getting worried this game was taking a dark turn. Off,
So here's quote number two. Every single Muslim watching this, on 7/7, you got away with killing and maiming British citizens. You better understand that we have built a network from one end of the country to the other end, and the Islamic community will feel the full force of the XXXX. I don't want to reveal the name of the organization just because that might give away the game. How did, yes. You're absolutely right. We will, if we see any British citizens killed, maimed, or hurt on British soil ever again. You got it immediately. It's time team, isn't it? They're rolling deep. They're in the back of a Ford Granada or whatever they are.
Coming with our diggers.
Yeah. Sock full of pool balls.
You're not ready for the archaeological dig we have.
Time team. Yeah.
For 3 days excavating sites that have already been excavated. Yeah.
You know your right to ramble and roam and things like that. Not anymore. They're digging it up. They've found an arrowhead.
You can bomb our towns, but trust us when we say 30 years from now, we'll be excavating that site and figuring out it was you all along.
I saw a thing recently where Time Team went across to Time Team America. Mm-hmm. And UK Time Team were like, let's bring in the diggers. And Time Team America like, oh no, we can't because we basically have no history. So every layer is absolutely precious to us. We're just like, ah, oh, dig it up.
It's anyway, amazing.
So I'm with this one.
It's a tough one.
Well, since I thought I'm going to go Tony this time, since I thought it was Tommy last time.
I'm sticking with
I'm going to go ball bag again. Yeah,
ball bag.
Ball bag.
Yay. Yay. Oh, 2 for 2.
All right. So here we go. To those tweeting me about MSM, Corbyn faces no... MSM, mainstream media guys. Yeah. You're thinking S&M.
Yeah, okay, go on.
So, to those tweeting me about MSM, Corbyn faces no more hostile media than every Labour leader in history. He's just inept at dealing with it.
I think this is Tony.
This is
Baldrick,
I think.
Yeah, this very much sounds like a... I think he's a Lib Dem. He was definitely very vocal in the Brexit referendum. Yeah. I think this is...
And it's far too articulate.
Baldrick. That's sneaky, bro. That is sneaky. Yeah, it's Baldrick.
Very articulate. That's the only reason I figured it out. That's
and you're right again,
just
guys. Okay. We've only got a couple of more of these. Okay. So, to my Muslim followers, 50% of you marry your cousins. Give me a retweet if you're one of those that ended up fucking their cousin. Can I just point out that the grammar in this is entirely incorrect as well. It's almost like somebody's drunk 10 pints of Stella and decided to have a bit of a racist rant.
Roseanne Barr. Sorry, that was Tylenol, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Side effects makes you racist. Yeah, that's Tommy.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
ball bag again.
I'm going for Baldrick.
You're taking a tough line on Baldrick. Yeah, I like that. It is ball bag once again. Oh. So, okay, don't worry, Mr. B. I have a cunning plan to solve the problem.
A final solution.
And Jamie's right, he's uncovered it. It's ethnic cleansing.
Jesus. Baldrick.
It is Baldrick. Baldrick had the cunning plan for Mr. Blackadder.
Yes.
So that's great. And we'll wrap up with this final one. I don't think he's real. He's the ghost of Augustus Pitt Rivers. Sorry, obscure and indulgent archaeological joke.
That's Baldrick.
Yeah, that's Baldrick.
Actually, that's Tommy Robinson, who has a PhD in archaeology from King's College.
Fuck off.
Yes, of course it's not.
I was about to say, really?
Well, for a split second there, I thought you just looked for a totally different Tommy Robinson, just to mix it up. Just like, nah, there's a different one. Trick question.
So, in conclusion, if he's talking about Muslims, immigrants, or refugees, then it's the shit Robinson. If he's talking Blairite shite, then it's the far, far better Robinson. So, in fact, to be fair to Tony Robinson, he's never actually tweeted the word migrant, Muslim, or Islam in all his years on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
Which suggests he's probably a very good guy. Yeah. Let's face it, we should all just be fucking friends, everyone.
Yeah. Exactly.
And also, he made Blackadder, and that makes him a legend, regardless of his wishy-washy politics.
Exactly, yeah.
And still, basically, Tommy Robinson wouldn't have even allowed the show to be called Blackadder.
Oh dear.
How many adders are actually black?
It would have been called Bloody British White Adder, with a tattoo of Winston Churchill, who goes forth to Calais and attacking desperate refugees with nowhere to go, their homes destroyed by war, and having to put up with a walking advert for erectile dysfunction in a Stone Island jacket. That's right, friends. He's not a good cunt, Tommy Robinson. He's just a cunt.
Wow, that was a fantastic section, Penman.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. That was amongst the more sweary sections we will ever have on Fife Club.
Just for our
just making up for last week? Because as Dave pointed out to me, that there was not one swear word in last week's episode.
Yeah, like I hope we haven't got a family audience now. Yeah. I've kind of ruined
that. Don't lull them in a sense of security when you're bringing them in. But for listeners who are not from Fife, be aware, it's a big deal when we call you just flat out a cunt. Because we call people cunts all the time, but we always say it's a good cunt, sound cunt, all that things. We only save cunt in its own when you are a cunt. And that is undoubtedly a fact.
So wow, the C-bombs.
and it's fair for our racist arsehole like Tommy Robinson.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
did I get across the tone there? I'm because I know sometimes, you know, we push the envelope occasionally in terms of challenging. I just want to be clear with the rest of the Fife Clubbers that my message about Tommy Robinson came across clearly.
Yeah.
I hate him.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it was clear, but
good.
Let's just double down on that.
I just want to make sure that we've earned the trust of the audience.
Yeah. Well, that was good. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah.
I think probably what we should do next is go into a little bit of a Fight Club.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Welcome, one and all, back to the specially constructed imaginary nine-sided nonagon for another Fantasy Fight Club. I suggest you all settle in, for we have another tremendous fight card for you good folk out there tonight. If you're not familiar with the format yet, then I shall explain. Each of us pits two fighters into the nonagon to battle. These fighters can be anyone or anything. We then mull over their faults and merits and how we think the fight would go. We then all decide on a winner. So let's get ready. Let's get ready to ramble.
Watch us wreck the mic. Watch us wreck the mic. Faith.
What
I've
about
seen myself out, James, and that was it. I was having a good time working with the audience.
Right.
What have I told you about this, James?
I'm annoying both of you because you missed out a let's get ready. You did two, and you missed out a watch us wreck the mic. That's disgusting. Do not misquote PJ and Duncan in my presence. Jesus
fair,
Christ.
PJ's blind, man, as well. Yeah,
it's only Duncan now when you think about it.
Yeah. Watch us wreck the mic.
I am the wrecked mic.
Stottering out of his car.
Watch us wreck the car. Watch us wreck the car.
Holy shit.
No. Don't drink and drive, kids.
Man, I'm blind.
Don't even have to add allegedly to that.
Yeah, no.
It's like, I'm blind, man. I'm blind. Well, you shouldn't have had that 13th Stella then, pal.
Oh, poor old PJ and Duncan, eh? Well, we're still ripping them off, right? Yeah.
Entirely.
Yeah. Don't sue us.
So, who's got a fight for us tonight?
Come on, James.
Well,
step forward.
Come in with the show opener. I've got quite an interesting fight. It's quite a lazy fight, all things considered. It's been a really hot summer's week. It's been really warm. So I thought, I'm going to bring together two icons of summer. So, in the blue corner, using the theme song Summertime, accompanied to the ring by DJ Jazzy Jeff, Will Smith.
Yes.
And in the red corner, coming into the theme of the summer of 69, Bryan Adams.
All right.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a summertime theme. Both came out with cracking songs about the summer. I think we can all agree.
A North American battle here as well.
Yeah. Both generic but fun music, eh, Coach?
Yeah.
Can I make this a triple threat and bring in Mungo Jerry with it in the summertime?
I thought about Mungo Jerry, but I wasn't
only because I have one specific thing to say about that.
Uh-huh.
If her daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If her daddy's poor, just do what you feel.
Wow. I didn't realise that was like, what's the blurred lines of its day?
Yeah, it really was the blurred lines of its day.
Now we know who's working heel in this.
Can we have Bryan Adams as referee?
What's that?
Can we have Ryan Adams as referee?
Ryan Adams. So we've got Will Smith, Mungo Jerry, Bryan Adams, and Ryan Adams.
Viewers might get confused though.
No, let's pair it back to the original two, because I've just made my point about Mungo Jerry. Yeah. And how what is which is unquestionably the greatest summer song of all time.
Yeah. Bar those lyrics.
Bar those two lyrics.
What? Have you not heard Kid Rock's cover of Sweet Home Alabama?
No.
So bad. Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It got overplayed to death as well.
It was horrible.
So makes me pine for the sort of dance country vibes of Avicii. Rest in peace, bro. Why are we laughing?
Too soon.
In fact, actually, I'll tell you, there was nothing actually said summer in Fife like everybody like going outside in their garden. What was it? No, it was the fucking Royal Wedding. Wedding. I put like open window because it's a hot day, and all I can hear is people drinking and playing Avicii in the garden. I was like, this is how we do Royal Wedding.
Bit of classic trance, maybe happy hardcore every now and again as well.
Most definitely.
My sister was telling me, like, she had one of those Royal Wedding parties just like that, and she told me she had like hash brownies or something, hash muffins. I was like, I'd love to be in that party for the Royal Wedding just to see what that would have been like. You know I mean, like, to watch the Royal Wedding just absolutely spaced out your nut, that would have been something hilarious.
I think that would be boring as shit.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's better things to do when you're high.
Stick it on space documentaries. To be fair,
my sister and her friends are the sort
Or just
like,
stick the static
it.
On, that's fun.
My sister and her friends are the sort that would have that on, but they would just party the night away and just be like, oh, we're watching the Royal Men. No, you're not. You're just having a good laugh at the party, aren't you? Come on now.
That was pretty much the last one. That was a good excuse to go and drink in the garden.
I feel like I should remind our viewers about our anti-drugs message. Don't do drugs, kids.
And I think I should remind our viewers our anti-royal message.
Yeah. Don't do royal.
Liberty, equality, fraternity.
Guillotines.
I'll let you fill. Yeah. I was going to say I'll let you fill up the gaps. But, you know.
I was already on it. I was where you were, Jamie. I was where you were.
Anywho.
Back to the fight.
Yeah, let's get back to the fight. It's an interesting one. I certainly think Will Smith's got the range. Not artistically, but he has got the range in terms of height.
What are you saying artistically?
Excuse me.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than the Big Willie style. Yeah. I mean, that album.
Willennium is a cracking album.
Willennium as well, yeah.
Friend of the podcast, Phil Brady, and one-time guest as well, and designer of our logo. We have a lot to thank Phil Brady for, not least the fact that he can sing the entire lyrics to Wild Wild West.
Yes.
A wiki wiki wow wow.
When I was a
rough rider. No, I ain't got nada.
I used to do it when I was a kid, but also when I was a kid, I actually knew there was a big, in the music video, they do that big dance routine in the ballroom. I could do that when I was a kid. I was such a cool kid. I had all those pals. You can definitely tell I was so popular in school and all that shit.
That film is up
James
there
are you
and
still
worse.
Here
yeah. I like my reputation is just taking a nosedive.
I worry, James, that we're too cool for you.
That is oh my
and
god,
that's a problem.
That would be, yeah, I'm, that is I'm what trying worry. To get back. I can be hip. I can be with it. I can be down with the kids.
Yeah, we're. Can you get jiggy with it?
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. But yeah, also, like, Will Smith has got an incredible range from, like, lovable, roguish young Will Smith, like, playing boxers and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Being in terrible sci-fi movies. Defeated aliens. Multiple
Welcome
times.
To Earth.
Yeah. That is a crap. Terrible Scientology sci-fi movies.
Yeah.
Are we going to have tag team partners? Because you could have, obviously, Jazzy Jeff.
Jeff, yeah.
And for Bryan Adams, you can't have a Sporty Spice.
the weirdest celebrity couple of all time.
Or you could have Kevin Costner.
Oh shit, that would be a.
I don't give a link.
Bryan Adams and Kevin Costner.
Of course,
famous song.
Yeah, of course. That was number one for far too long.
Yeah.
To be fair, that'd be a bit lopsided if you put Kevin Costner in because. Kevin Costner would snap Jazzy Jess in half.
Will Smith probably did a lot of boxing training for was it Ali?
Ali, yeah, definitely.
So I think he could.
He's quite a big man as well. Yeah. Big man.
Have we ever seen Bryan Adams box?
No.
I've not seen Bryan Adams do anything apart from hold a guitar.
I have the impression that Bryan Adams is a small man.
I think so.
Yeah. I don't think he doesn't give me this.
He didn't look that much taller than Sporty Spice, did he?
No. Nah.
And she's tiny.
Is she?
Yeah. Well, she looks tiny.
Yeah.
I love how measuring the universe is Sporty Spice. Yeah.
You're just, how many Sporty Spice is that? Yeah. Nelson's column, go.
It's obviously 300 trillion Sporty Spices is one light year.
So you're just watching that music video they did, because obviously they're to scale in that pan view, and you're just holding them with your fingers up, right? She's about that size. It's hard to do it with, like, it's like you got one, your index finger and your thumb just like marking it out with one, and then the same on the other hand. It's like, oh, that's about the same. It's about different sizes, yeah?
I was going to say, there's a lot of tenacity, though, in Bryan Adams, though. He used to play till his fingers bled. So you know that he doesn't give up easily. So he might have he might struggle in the early rounds. Smith's reach is getting him.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's not going to daunt Adams.
No.
Yeah, Adams he's coming back. He's in a late charge.
Yeah,
He's going full Rocky, yeah.
Did you purposely put in some Bryan Adams song puns in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Obviously, play to tell fingers bled.
Yeah, and then he doesn't give up easily. Just like...
Then again, because you can't tell him it's not worth fighting for.
Yeah.
You don't want to go for the win. Yeah. You know, he's determined.
Everything he does.
What? I'm calling this one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Smith by TKO.
Oh yeah, third. I'm taking Smith.
Yeah, I'm taking Will Smith. I mean, Jazzy Jeff being on the outside as a manager, he's distracting that referee while Steve Chair's getting thrown at the mix. That's my book.
Also, you know, basically Smith, he was a man in black. What, an MIB?
Yeah,
he wasn't able to wipe his memory.
Yeah, so even if he lost, he'd be like, I actually beat you, by the way.
CTE is actually a real danger when fighting in the Nordic.
especially when it's electronically induced.
I'm going to call this one the opposite way. I'm going to call this for the pugnacious Mr. Bryan Adams. because Will Smith's kid ruined Karate Kid. Fuck you, Will Smith.
I didn't mind that film so much, and Jackie Chan did so much to save that film.
Yeah.
He's fucking Jackie Chan, who's amazing.
Have you guys seen any of Cobra Kai yet?
No.
I've seen the first two episodes.
I enjoyed that first episode. It does a lot to right the wrongs of that film.
Yeah.
Second one is more from Daniel's view.
Right.
But I'm not paying for the rest until YouTube Red comes to UK.
Yeah.
But I'm not paying individually per episode.
I've got some credit on Google, so I think I might pay for the rest and watch. But yeah, anyway, that's good. So yeah, you're going Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're all going Will.
Mm.
Yeah, Will wins. Ding, ding.
Ding.
Anybody
dong.
Else want to go next?
You, Mr. McCutcheon.
All right.
I've got a funny feeling that I might, if I've got time for one, I might have one to go.
Okay, cool. Well, I've got a bit of a transatlantic heavyweight battle here.
Oh, I know this is where this is coming.
So, all the way from the USA, he's big, he's yellow. He's going to make sure you know that this week was brought to you by the letters B and the number 8. All the way from Children's Workshop, Sesame Street's giant, it's Big Bird.
Yes!
Oh, man.
Yeah. Grew up on the rough streets of Sesame Street. Those guys are always...
One of his best mates lived in a fucking trash can. How hardcore is that? How hardcore is that?
Quite literally from the streets.
Yeah.
And in the British corner, a titan of kids' TV. He's grizzly and camp. His housemates include an older bloke, a pink effeminate hippo, a thing with a zip, and the manic trio of Rod, Jane, and Freddy. He'll paint the whole world with a rainbow. That's right, it's Bungle.
Oh, God.
Yes!
Oh, God. I used to have to do an impression of someone from Rainbow. Okay, if I can't stop laughing, I might try it.
So, yeah, Big Bird versus Bungle.
What do we think? Wait, am I getting Bungle confused with Zippy?
You probably are.
Zippy's little yellow has a...
Yeah,
yeah, Bungle's
a bear.
Bungle's
a bear.
Yeah. Okay.
The bear with the rainbow t-shirt.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Okay, right. Now I'm clear.
I mean, I'm looking forward to the ring walks, like the entourage. They're
rolling deep.
It's the corners as well. I mean, you're clearly going to have Zippy and George as is Bungo's corner.
Big Bird is definitely walking into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
That's the ref! That's the referee!
1, 2, 3!
We love you, Big Bird.
Shut up, Elmo. I'll bite your face off. Don't tickle me, Elmo.
Elmo is stained with the blood of Count Dracula's victims.
Count Dracula.
No, not Count Dracula. That's a different franchise.
The Count.
The Count.
Sorry. I'll get you, Ducky Poos.
Basically, he just gets used as a mop just to clean everything up. That's why he's so red.
Yeah. God, I love Count Dracula. Totally different.
Actually, do you know what? We should do a Count Dracula special.
Absolutely. Yes. Should.
Totally.
Hugo.
Yeah, sorry. I love it.
Wow.
But anyway, no, anyway. You're right. Rolling Deep, like, that's the hard, mean streets in New York that Big Bird's coming from.
Exactly.
As well.
Where in New York is it? Hell's Kitchen, or is it?
I don't know if it's ever really...
You never really say. It could be anywhere in New York.
Somewhere around Brooklyn was mine.
I would have guessed somewhere like that, yeah.
The air is clean.
The air is clean.
We can't tell you how to get to Sesame Street.
The question is, how'd you get to Sesame Street?
Oh, God.
But yeah, I kind of thought there were two sort of like well matched.
Yeah, big lads.
Yeah,
totally. I feel that Big Bird will have the cardio, whereas Bungo will have strength and will probably fade after two rounds.
Yeah. But the thing about Bungo is, like, you always feel like he's a gentle giant. Again, that rainbow t-shirt suggests a sort of generosity of spirit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, when that was on television, that might have been a relatively brave move to be a slightly camp bear. In the Wait, actually, the more I think...
It's just
Wait
like,
a minute.
It's the whole show.
It's just like you at the top of Leith Walk on a Saturday. A camp bear. Yeah.
I think technically I'm what is the one that's like not a big bear? Not a bear.
A twink?
It's like small and hairy.
Oh, small and hairy. I don't know.
Twink. Aye.
Yeah, definitely not a twink.
No. Oh, I don't know.
I did actually ask one of my good friends that, and he was talking about you know, the gay scene and the words they have, like otters, bears, twinks, and all this kind of thing, and I was like, what would I be? And his answer was repugnant. So
excellent.
Absolutely ruined me with that one. But no, I hadn't really maybe appreciated it. Maybe I should go back and watch Rainbow and see if it's like an entire metaphor or something. Anyway, but nonetheless, I do feel like there's that generosity of spirit and niceness about, and also like Rainbow never felt inner city. It felt sort of more like
middle class.
Sort of like a nice suburban area, Norwich, or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. They weren't exposed to the hard life of Brooklyn.
No.
I think Bungle would be able to control position, but he'd never be able to go for the kill. You say, could submit you or TKO you just by smashing your face in.
I certainly feel like Big Bird's got a dark side about him as well. Like, they're in the streets of Brooklyn, like, they're doing stuff with kids where it's like, behave yourself, look after this, learn your ABCs, or your mama's gonna get got. Like,
what?
Oh, fuck.
holy shit.
That's my imagination of, like, Big Bird right now. He's just like,
Do you think about him and Gordon to go for text?
Yeah.
And then Gordon the Gopher secretly loves what Big Bird says to him. He says, stop texting me. No, stop texting me. I love it. I love it, really.
Philip will know. We'll see.
I'm pretty sure one of my favourite artists, a guy called J.J. Adams, I have some of his pieces, but I'm pretty sure he's done a Sesame Street of, like, Big Bird smoking a fag and stuff like that and looking, like, genuinely tough as nails.
I've seen that. Yeah, I think you showed me.
General Paint has done a few.
Oh, no, I might be thinking of General Paint.
General Paint has done a few Sesame Street Big Bird ones, like, on a similar vein.
This week, the Wu-Tang Clanger was
Wu-Tang Clanners.
It's fantastic. You should go look up.
Classic.
I want to throw something in the mix here, right? Mm-hmm. Is Big Bird will have some expertise in his corner, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because Elmo is a pro wrestler. Shit you not. There is footage, photos everywhere of Elmo wrestling matches. Legitimately. Like, There was. He's hit people with rock bottoms. He's hit people with a pile driver, but not just any kind of pile driver. No, a forward flip. Boys landing a pile driver there. He likes to break some necks, that boy. So he has had experience, and he has worked for the WWE at one point as well. Do you know what he did for WWE? He filmed a sex tape with one of their women.
Wait, what?
Wait,
I was going to say he supplied drugs to all the wrestlers. But
James, are you stroking out right now?
What do you want? Do you want something to make you bigger? Make something pop?
That's a terrible elbow press.
To be fair, maybe I've kind of swept that a little bit. Basically, on an episode of Monday Night Raw, because this was in the era when they were like trying to get their ratings and they were competing with WCW.
So they would get the kids in.
They got a guy dressed up as Elmo, and basically they got their most popular woman to be all sexy and tease having sex with Elmo. And basically what it's done is, once it got through all these, because it was all these segments just doing like poses and chatting up Elmo basically, and then at the end they just switched off the lights, and of course they're going to do what everyone does, they're just going to squeeze a Tickle Me Elmo. that's literally what they've done, just to make it seem like he had sex with this woman.
Is anyone else aroused?
No, Mark.
If you don't believe me, okay. All you need to do is go on YouTube, just type Elmo WWE, and you'll probably see a bunch of stuff like that that's on there. But
wow.
The fact is, he has had previous experience in a ring of combat, albeit fake combat. He knows what to do. He knows what he's doing. You gotta tell me. You gotta know he's in the corner of Big Bird, keeping him right. So you got
Elmo going gonzo.
Holy shit.
So, like, my other big question before wrapping this up is to try and work out, does Big Bird lead with the foot? Because he's got a big foot, big leg. Or does he go with the beak?
Go with the beak. I think he'd be a bit like emu.
Yeah.
All about the beak.
I don't know. I think he'll use the foot just to set him up and then go for the kill with the beak. Just finish him off with a KO. Yeah. Like a good beak in the face.
Right. I think so, yeah.
Like leg kick, just get ready.
The question is, though, is at any point, does Bungo's, like, basic bear instincts kick in?
Well, he needs to just maul you.
And just maul the shit out of that
video, I think I might have talked about the podcast, of a guy got out of a car in India, take a selfie with a bear, and he just got mauled to death.
Yeah. As you do.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's like, it's almost like Conor McGregor versus Khabib, but it's Big Bird and a bear. When it's that old adage of someone's a really good striker versus a really good wrestler. So it's like if Big Bird,
he could go train with Khabib. Yeah. He wrestled with bears as a kid.
Yeah, so he's trained with Khabib.
He's from Dagestan. What are you going
to
do?
Basically, if Big Bird gets taken to the ground, he's in big trouble. But then if Big Bird can keep his reins, work the beak, I was going to say work the jab, but
it is very much like Conor McGregor versus Khabib. it's a fantastic metaphor, James. Oh my god. In that case, I'm going to call this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to go for Bungle. Because he's Khabib.
See, I think Bungle, just because he's a bear at the end of the day.
Yeah. I'm going to call Bungle as well, because I think Big Bird will just get in a flap if he doesn't win early. Yeah, I did that. Oh, I did it.
He is a bit of a worrier, though, as Big Bird.
He does worry a lot. Yeah.
So I think that might just put him off his game.
Yeah, if he gets rattled in the first round, he's going to go in the corner freaking out.
And he can't wing it.
Bloody. You always have to get your beak in there.
God. He's got no courage. He's a bit yellow. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Right. Sorry. James was about to say something. Let's get the peck in order, right? So awful.
Well, that was fun. Anyway, so.
I'm not as chirpy anymore.
No.
So are we calling it for Bungle?
Yeah.
Bungle. Yeah. Bungle. Yeah. Unanimous decision. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Anybody else?
Nah, I think
you're done. Are we all just
need to go
checking
home.
Out?
Yeah, right. I actually need to go home soon.
Fair enough. Well, as we were talking about fights, there is one other fight that we do need to talk about. We got into a little bit of a Twitter fight with another podcast.
We got called out by Braver Boys from Glasgow. Basically, this is the eternal fear of like trying to be a plastic hard man from the East Coast. Is that someone from Glasgow calls your bluff and then you just shit it. Because we all know they're proper hard.
With our tins of ginger.
Yeah.
And are dying when they're 50.
Yeah.
But if you go into Twitter, it's a perfect example of what happens when East meets West, but in Twitter form, it was pretty bizarre.
I mean, basically, I've came across another podcast, a Scottish podcast called Trampled Bat, and they are very much so the West Coast version of us. And that's not a bad thing or a good thing.
It is a bad thing.
What I will say is, if you like the stuff that we do and you want a little bit more of that, don't replace us with Trample Bat. Please don't replace us.
Yeah, because they are actually good, and some of them actually have comedy credentials. Yes.
they'll probably be generally happier people because they live on the West Coast as well. So
nah, the rain.
But everybody's so happy there. It fucks with my head. We're so dour, and everybody's like, oh, hello. Like, why you smile at me, fucking weirdo?
Stop talking to me.
To be fair, we're this weird time place where they've got shitloads of rain. And then our end smells of shite. Yeah. So, pick your poison, really.
But they're brilliant. Really enjoy their chat. And as I say, it kind of reminded me a little bit of kind of what we do and our banter as well.
It would be a bit like us if we had legitimate comedy jobs.
Yeah. and with West Coast accents.
Yeah.
If you want to have a listen to them, I would highly recommend it. Go and check them out.
And they're very funny on Twitter.
Yeah, they were
really good.
So we got into a bit of battle. I sent them a wee compliment just saying, yo, thanks very much for doing what you're doing. You're pretty much the West Coast version of us, which I then got a reply with. So what you're saying is shirtless battle at Hart Hill service station.
Yeah, I love that.
Here we go.
Yeah, at that point I was like, it's on.
I love that you just went, Five Club, assemble.
Can I just say, lads, if we are doing this, like, none of us at Vice Club are in particularly great shape. So yeah. I'd prefer if we could do it skins against tops. we'll just keep our tops on for just now. Just till some of us hit the gym a bit. You know what I'm saying?
I'm putting on double layers.
But yeah, we ended up having a good bit of banter with them. We faced off. I reminded them that on our side we do have spout handle, lid of metal. That's right. Scylla and Archie of the Singing Kettle.
This got surreal.
Yeah. it got a bit mad because they basically came back and said that they were long term supporters of Funbox, who are the Birdman Singing Kettle.
I was kind of proud of my line that I came out with that one.
I say that, and I'm really sorry, Gary, because you were Singing Kettle, and you'll always be Singing Kettle to us.
Absolute legend.
You are our childhood.
You're the best multi-instrumentalist in the world.
Yeah. But yeah, so we had this bit of ongoing thing, and then Funbox got involved. And if nobody knows who the Singing Kettle are out there, they are pretty much a Scottish kids institution, I think. Mark hates them.
I hate everything that's fun.
But they're sort of like kids theatre. Like, they did sort of a music and all that kind of stuff.
It's mainly music.
And got people up on stage, all sing along, all sort of lessons, moral lessons and, things like that as well. Mm. It was always good fun. I always enjoyed Sing Kettle. Their tunes were always catchy and
absolute legends and musical influences for everyone.
Yeah, I think, as a sort of kind of example, would be Australia Has the Wiggles.
Yeah.
Can't think of a stateside equivalent.
No, but they'll have one.
Yeah, there'll be something like that. But they packed up and retired a few years back, and what came from it was Funbox that Gary from the Sing Kettle left.
I totally know. I knew they started something else, but I didn't realize it was Funbox.
Do you know what? It's just hilarious the Funbox got involved.
Yeah, but that's it. They got involved.
No one tagged them or anything. No. They just, of their own accord, just jumped in.
And that was the point when it got surreal, and I was like, oh no, this is a kids' institution. And now we got to hear we are.
They were putting up gifts of Ric Flair and stuff as well.
Whoever is doing Funboxy's Twitter is excellent.
Yeah.
God, I hope it's Gary. It's so perfect.
It definitely was one of those things where it 100% went this way, that way, forwards and backwards and over the Irish Sea. It was just bananas. It really was. The best way to sum that up was exactly that, because it just went, like from just a nice little compliment to challenge each other in a fight, to roasting each other, to fun boxing. Hi guys, so by the way.
like what will happen if the real fight happens, I showed up at the end and went, what the fuck's happened here? Hours later, like, what the fuck?
I know, I'd be having a fag. So, but yeah, the fair play to... Trampled Bat, that have got fun bucks in their corner. They really are properly rolling deep, those boys.
You never saw fucking singing Kettle Come to Our Aid.
Yeah. Where are you, RJ? RJ, I need you, RJ.
Oh, dear God.
Cella, Cella, a lot of Lalaraths, wrong Cella.
Oh God! I just popped my head when you did that. Just before that, I was like, "I'm gonna do Cella Black versus Cella from St. Gale as a Fight Club." One time.
This is why we're so in sync. We're actually the same person.
So, but yeah, totally. It was good chat. If you're on Twitter and you fancy having a look at that, I think I retweeted some of it. You can go and pop. It was an entertaining evening. So yeah, thanks guys for the banter. We've all made up and made friends.
Hopefully, we get together sometime. That would be fun. Oh,
I think so. I think that might be quite interesting.
I hate human contact.
But yeah, so as I say, go check them out. Definitely worth a listen.
I've been quite negative, but we seem sound.
Yeah, no, yeah, totally.
Yeah, just RIP my mentions, though. That as the kids say. And Avicii. Oh. Bro. Oh.
Holy shit. Is that because that's all his mentions are?
Yeah.
RIP. Yeah. Oh my God, babe. That is... You are savage.
Can you cut that bit out?
Editing sound.
I've already edged it enough tonight.
Don't actually edit out. It's hilarious.
Mark, do you want me to edit that out?
Yeah, go for it. I think I already made an Avicii joke. People will hate us.
So, or me. So, anyway, will we bring this to a close, will we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think it brings me to that time of the evening where I have to ask, James, what's the motto this week?
If you're a family or children's entertainment group, by all means, this is a call to arms, because clearly Funbox have went over to Glasgow instead.
Fair enough. If you want to join the Fife Club side,
we need an entertainment group to back us up in a big fight.
Good luck. We sure shit don't entertain.
I think that
was. I'm just imagining that scene from Anchorman. Glenn Michael piles in with Paladin, and there's singing Kettle, Funbox, Glenn Michael.
Oh wow!
Michael will show up, and everyone just goes, piss off. Come on.
Uncouth Australians.
Anyway. Right, well, good night.
Good night.
Night.